Let me introduce you, Ronald Ochoa. Do I say that right?
Yes.
Who works in Beltsville for USDA in Maryland. And he's going to talk about decoding Ducarelidae and Tinrui palpidae. Ron.
Thank you. Thank you very much. To start this, I want to remember something about my first contact with ever was when I arrived to the USDA to visit Mr. Smiley. And the first thing that he said is, if you really want to know mites, you need to read this book. And I said, yeah. And he pulled out a huge book, this big, and said, you have this weekend to read it. And I was myself thinking, are you kidding? And I look at it and was the 1986 book about taxonomy by Ever. And I remember all Saturday and all Sunday in a little hotel in Bensville reading all day the book from the beginning to the end. And the word ontogeny was one of the words that we'll never forget about how to study mites, because this is what will come from this conversation. We have a low temperature scanning electron microscope at the USDA. Very recent, we changed our old unit. This one is the new one. This is a digital unit that we can take many photos of the same thing and later select which ones are the best ones in quality and all that. The old one used to be with just by slides and took a lot of time. That is a great advance for us. This is the cryo unit where we put the plates inside that we will look at the mites. Here is the liquid nitrogen that allow us to work for non-stop close to 24 hours. Sure, this guy here, Gary Wishan, my colleague with the microscope, would not allow me to work for 24 hours. And when Jenny works with him, I not allow around the microscope. That shows you the concentration that they need to have when they are working with them. It's a great way to work with them because when we start to look and try to understand Ducarella and Tinrui palpidae, we start to look at the bases and the information, what are in common. As you know, the family Ducarellidae are beautiful. I call the pickup mites. They were named by Ewing pickup mites a long time ago. I just found a paper written by him that he also decided to call them in that way. We have now one genus, 23 species. We found that there are between 250 to 450 microns in length. Most of them are orange to red in color with beautiful white cities. They make all kinds of very interesting damage. Usually they love to feed on the barks and the roots. Some of them are in the soil, some of them are sometimes in the leaf. What is interesting is that when we start to look at them and we start to look just the adults, we realize that the first big problem that we had is that several species were described on males. However, the people that published them, they said that there were the females. That was the first error that we discovered. And the second one that we realized was the interpretation of the cities, which ones are the cities D, Cs, exactly what is the position. And with here, you realize that you need to really start to go very careful on the mite, start with the larvae. See where is the larvae, the position of the cities of the larvae, because the larvae has all the cities already that the adult will have over the dorsum, but the position on the larvae are not the same that the position on the nymph or the adult. They are moving, and that position, the way that they move, will tell you which city is, you know, the F1, the F2, or the F3, or which one is the H1, H2, H3. Very interesting. And also another thing was look at the cities on the legs, how are present in the larvae and how they add some of them on the adult. Another thing that we discovered was a thing that many people suspected for many, many years. Many people say something is wrong with Ducarella. The males are smaller. It doesn't look that they have the same number of cities as the females. Perhaps they are coming. What we think that is the deltonymph is perhaps is the deltonymph for the female, and what we think is the deltonymph for the male, and what we think is the tritonymph is in reality the deltonymph for female. You know, all these ideas on something like that. And finally, last year, we were able to go over large series of Tucherella from larvae to adults, especially looking for the far-eight specimens. That is something that I learned from Barry. Always they said, Ronald, look for the far-eights, look where they are molting, get these states and look inside. And luckily for us, Jenny was really good getting photos of all the different far-eights. And finally, we were able in several species, in three or four species, to prove that this is the way that they do for the male, going larvae, proto, deuto, and the deuto go to the male, when the female keep going proto to trito and trito to the adult. Another thing that we are using also to understand Tucherella is that we are using different kind of microscopes. One of the other microscopes that we are using is the confocal microscope, and surprise. They are giving very interesting surprise, but as you can see, the reflection of the microscope of these species tend to change in base of the species. We are looking at that aspect. It's another tool to help us to understand the different species. Here we have Ornata, Canori, and Hypoptera. Hypoptera is a very interesting genus. It's all are Tucherellas, but we're seeing that perhaps this is a mite that will be different later. We were able now to separate the ones that are from soil from the ones that are directly over the plants. There are several characters, including the type of the cities at the end. They are more colorful, more beautiful than the ones that we usually see in Ornata and Canori. Sure, when we go to the LTSEM, we start to see another phase of them. More careful, we start to look about how is the tegument, how are the cities dorsally, how are the shape of the cities, how they are located. We are also looking more careful about the larvae shape, as like I said, the positions, the leg, the change of the cities. We are looking also to the eggs. The eggs start to show characters, different species made the egg cases different. Not different, but they come in different shapes. It's kind of a signature. Very interesting group. And working with these, we decide, okay, we start with Tucherella. We found all these things, and we said, okay, how about Ternipalpidae? And working with these characters and looking, for example, that you were talking a few minutes ago about the Solenidia, you can see the Solenidia. You almost can see the individual pores on the Solenidia in that tarsus. Look also the variation here of the city in the lower part, in the ventral part of the city against the dorsal part of the city, completely different, and the species also show variation on this. Tucherella was definitely an open eye to address the next family. The family Ternipalpidae with 36 genera, 920 species, feet on stems, leaves, fruits, many plants. Most of the people call them flat, brown, red, orange, yellow in color. However, I was thinking all my time that all the flat mice were red, but when I arrived to Australia and did go collect flat mice with Jenny in Australia, the first thing that I learned is that no, not all the Ternipalpidae are red. In Australia, there are all kinds of colors, yellows, rubber band, brown, kind of cream, orange, very different in shapes and forms and colors. Means that the family Ternipalpidae is not flat. We call them flat because in the ventral area is more or less flat, but they are not flat. If you can see them lateral, you will see that they have all these amazing kind of mountains, a range of forms and shapes. And these shapes, unfortunately, under the traditional way that we work these mites with the slides, putting them between two pieces of glass, we change the shape of that. And many species have been described as a characters with these things changing. Look, for example, this case, this one, this is when he's alive. And here we can see him as it is under the LTSEM. Getting close to them, we'll start to study the shape, the form, what is making these massive things, what they are over. And we discovered what we call the microplates. That is a kind of wax-like structures that each species have. Here is one that is a very strong, massive, I call, just joking, as we are quite close to California, so it's an Argopadpus because it's massive, strong, looks like a bull. Look, the microplakes, they look like cinnamon rolls. And if we go to Agiopta, Agiopta looks like ribbons all together. And if we go over the Pentamenimus anteropalpus, we also notice that now we start to look variations also in the shape of the claws and the presence of the tenon hairs, and we can see clearly that the genus Tenuipalpus, what everybody called Tenuipalpus, do not have claws, only tenon hairs. And here, for example, we have Pentamerismos, beautiful mite, and here in the way that he is using the plants to protect it, here's the detail of other species. Here we go over Xenopalpus pulchere. There are three species very close to Xenopalpus pulchere moving around, intercepted often. We discovered that people call all of them pulchere. One of the characters of pulchere is the tiny little city, the city C2, that is very small, always very constant. But also we start to look careful to the body of Xenopalpus pulchere, and we notice that the microplates in Xenopalpus pulchere, as you can see over this area, they are more flat, tiny. What about Rauiella? Many species of Rauiella. Right now, we have all these species with numbers, with the exception of this one at the end. I think this one is Rauiella indica in the corner. Forgot to label this one, sorry. But all of them have characters also interesting in the field, and is the droplets that they produce, they can be different color, amber, they can be yellow, they can be shiny, they can be completely hyaline in color, or they can be kind of whitish in color, not too big. And when we look more careful, we also have been able to see how the mites interact and how they fit in the different plants, helping us also to separate the species. Looking at not only at behavior, but also we are looking also to the claws, the tenon hairs, the position, the types of solenidia. And again, looking careful about what happened and how we look these specimens, how we identify these specimens. Here is a DIC photo, here is a stereoscope photo, and here is the LTSEM photo. As you can see in DIC photo, the shape of the body has been modified to a round body. It's in some descriptions that I read from some places, people describe that as a character when in reality it's not rounded. That means it's rounded as much as you push it. If you not push it too much, you maybe have a more square shape. If you look in the stereoscope, as you can see, it's not as rounded. What about looking generally that produce these microplates, not only over the body, but also produce them over the cities, and made so hard that if you use a phase contrast to try to understand what is going on, you will have a hard time to really understand this and try to quote what is going on with the position of the cities. The LTSEM also allow us to have some fun, as I call him, the Muppet Mite, because you can see the nose here, and you can see the eyes here, and the eyes are there. It's really cool. And this mite is a beautiful rubber band color. And what about Crossipalpus? This is a mite that I think Jenny have around. Well, we're talking around 100 species, something like that, possible, in Australia? 100? Yeah, probably around. Has two species described, right? And, yeah, two species described, and probably hundreds undescribed in Australia at this moment. Only to think about that, you know, made me nervous. But it's a challenge, and that is another reason why we need to study this group, and we need to do really careful, going over not only the adults, but also the immatures. This is the Phylo Tetranicus that is present in Arabia areas, Israel, Jordan, Iraq, Iran, and I think it has been also in Egypt. A beautiful mite. There is one species, another species in this group that is present in Mauritius Island. ultra tiny bulbs from most of them in Australia, but there are some also in South Africa. And here, Courier Garçons, again, DIC, the LTSEM, and the stereo view, try to understand and be more in line with how to separate the species, how they interact, how they modify the cities, how they change the cities also on the legs. All those things are very important. Here is a new species of Lavarcaros from South Africa that Eddie Uckerman is working with it. Very interesting. Formed galls that were under the tree. 5 minutes. Thank you. Amazing group. And here is the problem. One of the things that I discovered is that when you get old, you start to need glasses. But the scary part for me was that I was working with this, with Jenny, Ethan Kame, and Eric McDonald, all this, and we realized that we see these figures different. For example, this figure here, I see bumps when Ethan see indentations. And I did a test, and I discovered that everybody that is 30 years old down tend to see bumps, when everybody that is 30 years older tend to see indentations, and all these things changes depend of your age. And if I grab that thing and rotate it, I can change the bumps to holes, and vice versa also with them. And I realize, oh my gosh, if you are in India with a phase contrast microscope and you are 23 years old, you will see these holes, and you describe these species with holes. And if you are more than 40 in some other country with other microscope, and you see that bump, you will describe it as a bump, and you have two different species when in reality you have the same species. Honestly, I panic when I saw that, because we are getting close to the major problem, genus Brevipalpus. And when we go over Brevipalpus, we need to go over Baker papers and all that, and start to review the papers of 1949, and start to hear the people that are working in molecular that are saying, hey, Ronald, Brevipalpus fenensis, I have is many, probably many species, because the molecular thing is that, and I am thinking, oh my gosh, what I can do. And I did go to Brazil, Jenny, start to look very careful at the collection, and we start with this. As you can see, many different kind of drawings, variation, all that, what is fenesis, also for Californicus and also for Ovobatus. And we start to look more careful about the characters. We start to use the LTSEM to see how is the shape of the city of the palpus, how are the shape of the protections over the natosoma, the rostrums. Start to look also how are the shape over the body, of the reticulation over the bodies, of what they call fenesis, what they call chiliensis, what they call californicus. I start to use different microscopes to look at the same characters to see if they look different, how we do the interpretations, and this is what we discover. We discover that if you use phase contrast, just phase contrast, you probably will make errors, because phase contrast do not allow you to see the gradient of how the bump of what formed the bump goes down. You can see the bump that maybe is in this way, when in reality is flat in the top and goes down in the border. And species will have that different. And you can see that in phase contrast. And you can see here the comparison, phase contrast against DIC, how DIC allow you to see the characters more clean, also avoid the refraction of the ventral areas in the top. In that way, you will not make mistakes that some people have been done, where they draw a mild dorsal, but they put cities that are ventral dorsal, because the phase contrast reflects also in the top, and seeing that they also are in the dorsal area. With that, we start to, again, look very careful. Start to look to the cities on the legs. That is a major problem in Ternipalpi. Very few people look to the cities. Ever, in one excellent paper that he did on Tetranychidae, he point and name and label all the cities, and he was really good helping my colleague before I arrived in Bentzville, that was Magali Quiroz. Unfortunately, her thesis never was published. We are trying to rescue all this information that he left there to Magali. Jenny has been working in going not only on the legs of the adults, but also on the legs of the larvae, the nymph, all that. Look at the position, look what is added, where it moves around, definitely. that sense of the character of ontogeny is really important. It's really important to understand how we will look the characters, how we'll look the parts, and I will go really quick as I have just 1 minute. Here is again all the scenes that we know right now, as we know right now, and here you can see the microplays of Brevipalpus phoenicis associated with citrus. Remember that? Here is Brevipalpus chilensis, this guy so far, so good, but there are a couple, two more extras in another areas in Chile. Brevipalpus californicus, this one, you can see here the center, that means that this is Brevipalpus californicus type 2, not type 1. And here is the surprise, we start to look something that I didn't think at all, that I failed for many years, was to look the spermatica. Jenny has been, maybe because her line with working with phytoseidae, the spermatica is very important. She said, look at this, and all has been called phoenicis. But you can see clearly that you have two types of spermaticas. These ones are associated with most of the mice that have been collected on citrus. These ones are with the mice that have been collected on coffee. Again, the ontogeny, the position of the series is very important. The eggs are giving characters, and thank you very much.
Yes, the DIC definitely is a better tool to work with flat mites, definitely. Allow you to see the characters much better and avoid errors that the phase contrast will give you.
But if I recall the Wilborn et al. Paper in 2003, it suggested that even DIC, for the same species, you have artifacts.
Yes, the mounting artifact is different. This is demanding. It's the way that you word your slide. If everybody more or less have the same standard way, you can reduce. But what we are doing is try to identify in LTSN characters that are constant and also help and support DIC, because not everybody will have a LTSN in their lab, but everybody can upgrade the phase contrast to a DIC.
That's okay to be careful, and that's what you
want. Yes.
So important here as dynastic characters. Yeah. Under even the good slide, DIC might not give you the characters, might not see the texture.
The microplates, for example, let me explain something with the microplates. The microplates, we saw the microplate in LTSM, but when we go in the DIC, we can see some of the DICs. However, we discovered that if you use Nesbit or any clearing agent, guess what happened to the microplates? They go away. You destroy them. You smooth the mite.
But in Hoyer's, there's chloroligers.
Yes, but Hoyer will not do as quick as Nesbit. Nesbit is really good removing microplates. That means that you can have a Brevipalpus californicus very smooth, and somebody didn't use Nesbit and will have a Brevipalpus californicus, and that is smooth, and will say it's a new species. We are addressing that. I think that is really the key to do the best, but also to use other characters, for example, identify where the city is, what kind of city is, where they move, you know. Use also the larvae to help to identify the groups. Brevipalpus phoenicis right now, we have five types, more or less, but we are working now only with three, to try to define three really well under the DIC, that the people can separate at least these different types of beer, Brevipalpus phoenicis. Yes? With DIC, right now, with the characters that we are finding, yes, finally, we feel very confident. But the descriptions would be like, I remember when I saw the first description of a Tarsonemus, but I was thinking, oh my gosh, 2.5 pages for a describe one mite. And I was thinking, oh, this is crazy, it's too long. I said that. I need to bite my tongue now, because our description right now are 5 to 7 pages long now.
I'm also using
Yes, we that is another thing. That is was another thing. What we did was, when we were working with these things, we pulled out the types and we compared the types with DIC to make sure that what we have, that we did use in LTSEM, that also mount for DIC, having be the same. And that was when we started to really find, oh my gosh, what everybody called fennies is probably five species. So far, we have three really well identified. And all have name. They're not new. It's that we're wrongly synonymized.
Ron, maybe I'll stop you there. In theory, we should start right now with Hans Pumpen. But I'm suggesting, because I think all of us may need a break. So because Ashley Darling's not talking, I think we should push Hans' talk a little bit. And maybe start at 3:20. I mean, Ashley Darling was supposed to start at 3:25, so I think Hans' talk would be at 3:20. Then we'll be, you know, and basically, I guess, if it's okay with everyone, most of the people that care about mice are here anyway.